You're listening to EAA Radio. I'm Farid Gio. Divers, explorers, and aviation archaeologists from the missing aircraft search team will launch a search in Santa Monica Bay off Los Angeles, California next week for Gertrude Tommy Tompkins Silver, the last missing member of the Women Air Force Service Pilots of World War II. G. Pat Maka of Los Angeles, who has written three books on airplane archaeology, has been researching the Tompkins case for a long time.
For the past 11 years, I've been involved in the search for Gertrude Tommy Tompkins Silver, a World War II WASP pilot who vanished on October 26, 1944, flying a factory-fresh P-51D Mustang from the North American Aviation Factory at what is now LAX, en route to Palm Springs and ultimately all the way to Newark, New Jersey.
Why did she go missing?
She was the last of a flight of three to take off, and she had had a canopy problem that delayed her flight most of the day. A group of about 25 or 26 other aircraft preceded her, and they got all the way into Arizona. But her flight could only make Palm Springs before dark, and they were never allowed to ferry aircraft in IFR conditions or after dark. So the takeoff is made. Heavy overcast at about 4 p.m. in the afternoon is looming at the west end of the field, and out over the bay, it's the usual May-June gloom scud that we get in September, October, and other times of the year as well. So as she climbs out, the two aircraft that precede her are then seen to fly east on Green Airway 5, which is Imperial Highway. And her aircraft, presumably going up into the overcast, that nose gets a little too high. The fuel tank aft of her seat is full. The airplane slides off on the left wing and enters the bay like a knife. We have an eyewitness, a kid who at that time, 11 years old, standing fishing on Manhattan Beach Pier. He's a retired PhD aeronautical engineer for Northrop Grumman. He's considered a credible witness. He remembers that late October day when he saw an airplane hit the water in the bay through the haze and gloom. He told two other men, and they said, "Ah, shut up, kid, go home. They already know about it at the field." He told his father about it, and the dad didn't believe him. And he forgot about it over time until news media started to cover the story again a few years ago. Based on his eyewitness testimony, we have been searching in a certain part of Santa Monica Bay.
Why did it take so long for anyone to notice that she had not arrived?
And that's a good question. When the 251s landed at Palm Springs, they assumed Gertrude had that persistent canopy locking problem and that she had simply landed back at the field. When the entire flight arrived at Newark, New Jersey, 4 days later, they said, "Where's Tommy? Where's Gertrude?" And they said, "Well, she landed back at the field." No, she didn't. A search is initiated. They did put boats on Santa Monica Bay day five. They did send aircraft to search the mountain passes, the Palm Springs, the San Bernardino Mountains, San Jacinto Mountains, the Santa Ana Mountains. And, of course, those searches turned up nothing. The water on the bay, it was rough and windy. So any little oil slick or what have you was not observed, nor was any wreckage reported found on the beach.
Describe for me the scene at Mines Field during the war. Was it, by comparison, as busy as LAX is today, except with military aircraft?
No, I wouldn't say it's as busy as LAX is today, although it was very busy. There were two manufacturers right there, North American Aviation and Douglas Aircraft. North American was cranking out P-51s at a very high rate and B-25 bombers. Douglas next door was cranking out the SBD Dauntless dive bomber. And, of course, they were doing test flights. Every airplane had to be test flown, and then the airplanes were lined up to be picked up by delivery or ferry pilots as part of the Air Transport Command. So in Gertrude's outfit, there were like 25 guys and three women, three WASP pilots. And they would come in and stay overnight in Manhattan Beach, and the next day they would report to the factory they would pick up their aircraft, and they would head off for their embarkation point, and they would hopscotch across the country.
Losing aircraft along the coast or in the mountains of California is an uncommon occurrence, according to your past research. What common threads link many of these accidents?
Well, in most of the accidents or most of the crash sites I visit, especially in the mountains, weather is a factor in about 99% of them. You know, as far as offshore is concerned, you know, a variety of causes. During the war, many of the causes or accidents were caused or happened during combat tactics and training. So you have guys dogfighting, you have mid-air collisions, you have tow targets and people flying into tow targets, you have pilots blacking out and spinning in, but again, the majority weather-related losses. And some mechanical failures, yes, depending on the type of aircraft. And of course, back in those days, in the war days, they were using low-octane fuel, generally speaking, here stateside. High-octane went overseas, and on aircraft that were using the Allison engine, the P-38, P-39, there were some detonation issues. The B-24 had problems on the fuel detonation issues, and the in-flight explosions, gas vapors build up. So there's a host of causes.
You must often work with family members of those who have died. What do they seek most out of these efforts to find? Is it to find the aircraft, or is it to just memorialize the sites where they might have been?
Well, most of the folks that I've been contacted by want to visit a site where their loved ones died. And if physically possible, I facilitate that. We return to a crash site. If we can bring in a memorial marker, if it's approved in that area, if it's on, through the BLM, we have better luck placing a marker in the desert at the crash site. If it's the National Forest, we're able to place a memorial marker in a container attached to the wreckage, not to trees and not placed in the ground. If it's National Park Service, then no memorials are allowed, but people could still visit the crash site. And for some people, especially guys and gals whose dads were lost when they were very young and they never knew their father, or they were just at the age where they were getting to know the person and really like them, going back to these sites means a great deal to them.
You mentioned that you have an eyewitness that may have seen Mrs. Silver's airplane go into the water. Let's
right.
say you didn't have an eyewitness. In this particular case, where would you start to try to find that wreckage?
Well, I would still go to the bay, because when the interviews were done at the North American Aviation factory after she disappeared, workers distinctly remember seeing two P-51s come screaming back right south of the factory on over Imperial Highway, which was Green Airway 5, but they never saw number 3. So that leads me to believe she went down in the bay. A P-51 would be very hard to hide, and that's a lot of aluminum, a lot of reflective metal. If it had crashed and burned, there'd be smoke and attention drawn to it. It's highly, highly unlikely that she got east of the field. The protocol was to take off, not get too far out over the water, but she was last in the line. The visibility was bad, maybe concerned about not running up on the two that preceded her. She went a little bit farther west and ended up in the bay.
What kind of equipment will you use to try and locate the aircraft underwater?
The equipment that's been used, and thanks really to the interpretive genius of Gary Fabian, he has analyzed multi-beam data, side scan data from Santa Monica Bay, and he's identified over 50 targets that we will be looking at.
What does the family want to do with any artifacts that may be located?
The family does not want anything to be recovered. The family wants the P-51D is identified. They would like to go out in boats. They would like to have a gathering on the water and place flowers over the crash site.
Mrs. Tompkins Silver is the last missing Women Air Force Service pilot.
Of the 38 who lost their lives during the Second World War, she is the only one still missing and unaccounted for.
Mr. Maka, thanks very much.
And thank you.
You're listening to EAA Radio.